Okay, how many were up watching the wedding last night? Anybody? Okay, is that why you guys were so late this morning? Lucita said, okay, church, it's time to start. And so me and Jen and Mike and Gina took our seats. And then the rest of you came. It was a good wedding, huh? It was pretty fun. Such amazing pomp, whatever you want to call it. It was just a beautiful wedding. Well, today we are in James. We're actually getting close to the very end of the book of James. Today is part number 10 of our series in Living What We Claim We Believe, and the title is Developing Patience. How are you doing when it comes to patience in your life? Patience with others. How are you doing? Honest evaluation inside. Raise your hand if you're struggling with patience. Okay, I think a lot of you are not going to raise your hand because you're struggling with honesty. That's next week, honesty. When you think about it, we spend a lot of our time in life waiting, don't we? We wait. So this is a pertinent issue, is developing patience. We wait. I got a few pictures of waiting. Tell me if you relate to any of these or have related to any of these. First picture, do we have? We don't have any? He says we do. There we go. Okay, this guy is waiting. Where is he? School. Man, you start school. And at first, school is exciting. It's fun. And then you're just counting the days until you finally finish, and you finish perhaps high school, and then you start more school, and you enroll in something else, tech or uni or something, and you wait. How about the next one? Work. You finally get the job, you start your career, you're so excited. After a while, you count the years down. How much longer do I have at this job? How much longer till I can retire and quit work completely? And then you wait. How about this one? Getting what? Married. Okay? You fall in love with Mr. or Mrs. Wright, and you know this is the one, and you're so excited, and you want to get married, but it seems like you have to really wait and wait. Right, Josh? How long did you wait? Oh, come on. Was it that long? We wait a long time. Oh, that's longer than Jacob waited. Okay. Oh, sorry. So you get married. The next one. You wait to have kids. You're excited, and they come. And each step along the way is another period of time that you're anxious for, when they begin to walk and when they start school, and then they leave home eventually. We spend a lot of time waiting for things. The next slide. How many of you relate to this one? I don't know where this is, but it represents traffic, man. And you wait in traffic. If you work in the city and you hit rush hour, you spend a lot of time, a lot of hours of your week waiting in traffic, don't you? Does that test your patience? How about the next one? This is me. Yes. Waiting in line at the supermarket. And you're waiting in the express lane, and people in front of you with a basket of groceries, much more than 12 items. They don't pay attention to that. There's another thing that you wait a lot in. I like this example. At a restaurant. You wait at a restaurant. You wait a lot at restaurants. First of all, you wait to be seated. You wait till they bring you a menu. You wait to order your food. You wait to get the food once you have ordered, and then you have to wait until perhaps they give you a bill. And then sometimes you have to wait in line to pay the bill. So at a restaurant, you wait a lot, and they have the nerve to call the fellow who serves your food a waiter. They should call you the waiter. Because you're the one waiting. Today's text has a lot to say about waiting and patience. Waiting and patience. So let's take a look at this together. James chapter 5, verse 7 to 12. Go ahead and follow along with me as I read. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. May your spirit have freedom in this place. May our hearts be open to you, our ears attentive to your word. Lord, do your work in us. May we give you complete freedom to work in any area of our heart, of our mind, that you need to. If there are areas that we are wrong in, areas that we need improvement on, Lord, I pray that you would begin that work this morning. Father, if there's any here who is out of the faith, they don't know you as their own Savior, Lord, do a work in their heart, stir in them, awaken them. I pray that you would bring them to their knees before you, their God, their Creator, their Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at three questions. When should I be patient? Why should I be patient? And how should I be patient? James uses the word patience or perseverance over and over six times in this short passage. And then he uses different illustrations to teach us when to be patient, why to be patient, and how to be patient. So the first question that we're looking at is, when should I be patient? And the first thing I want to bring out is we need to be patient when you can't control the circumstances. You just cannot control the circumstances. They're beyond your control. Verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until when? The coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early rain and the latter rain. Have you figured out that many things in your life are just beyond control? They are, aren't they? And James reminds us, don't go into farming business unless you have patience. The farmer has no control over many things. He does what he can do, but he has no control over the weather. He has no control over the rain, over the heat. He has no control personally over the economy. Have you noticed that even when we realize a situation is beyond our control, that we still try to control it? How do we try to control it? It's often by worrying. We begin to worry. To worry about something that you can change is just dumb. But to worry about something that you cannot change is totally useless. And there are many things in life that we cannot change, and we're not to worry. He tells us to be patient until when? When are we to be patient until? The coming? Come on, church, I want to hear from you. The coming of? Do you understand what that is? The New Testament talks a lot about this, the coming of the Lord. That is when he comes again. It begins with that first step, the taking away, the snatching away, called the rapture. And then there is that tribulation period. But then Christ himself will come again to rule, to to rule the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign, himself. This is that coming of the Lord, and it's referred to a lot. And we have no control over that as well. We don't determine when that is. We are just told that it's coming, and you be patient. Be ready, be watching, be alert, be prepared, but you have no control over that. And he says, be patient until that time. I'm not sure why until that time, but I guess once that time comes, we won't have need for patience anymore because we'll be with him. We'll be like him. So, you should be patient when you cannot control the circumstances, and that's a lot of times. Secondly, when you can't control people. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to control people? Their words, their actions, their thoughts. You cannot control people. He uses an example in verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. What was the role and duty of the prophets? What did the prophets do? God gave them a word, and they would go and speak that word to the people. And they would urge them, whatever it is, they would warn them of things, warn them of what they have been doing or things to come, and urge them to come to the Lord, to trust the Lord, to repent. And so the prophet's message was to be faithful to give the message of God to the people. That's what he was to do. Did he control what the people did? No. And sometimes they didn't want to hear from the prophet, and sometimes they took it out on the prophet. They took it out on the messenger. And they would stone them or put them in the wells or kick them out of town. They didn't want to hear about it. And he couldn't control the people. There's a word, the word for patience is makrothumos. Makro meaning long, and thumos referring to heat. And it literally means to be, take a long time for you to get hot. Is that a good definition of patience? Is that describing you? Taking a long time to get hot. Listen, we realize some people may never change. We must be faithful. We must be faithful to God. And in personally, in relation to family members, be patient with them. Be patient with those that you want to come to know the Lord, and continue to pray for them, and continue to be a testimony and a witness to them. But realizing that you cannot control people. You can't control people any more than the prophets could, but you continue to be faithful to do what God wants you to do. Be faithful and be slow to get hot. One more thing, you can't, when should you be patient? When you can't explain the problems, all the problems. Verse 11 of James 5. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So he introduces another example, and that is Job. Everybody knows Job, yeah? I don't need to go into a full story about Job. Basically, Job was a man who knew how to suffer, or he went through a lot of suffering. God allowed suffering, great suffering, to come into Job's life. But yet Job remained faithful to the Lord. He continued to trust the Lord, to believe the Lord. And then later, toward the end of the book, we see that God had purpose for Job. God blessed him above and beyond what he had before. Job was the master of suffering. He lost his family, his friends, his finances, his own health, his fitness. And life isn't fair sometimes, is it? And sometimes you can't explain the problems. You can't explain what's going on in your own life. And maybe you think, I've been doing everything according to God's word. I've been following him. I've been obeying him. What is going on in my life right now? Why is this happening? and you cannot explain, perhaps any more than Job could at the time. We have the benefit of looking into the book of Job and realizing what took place between God and Satan and what God was doing in Job's life. Job didn't. He couldn't explain the circumstances. But he had patience. He trusted God. He rested in God. So the next question we're looking at is, why should I be patient? Why should I be patient? Let me give you a few things from James here, what he tells us. Because first of all, God is in control. We saw in verse 7, reference to the coming of the Lord, but we see it again in verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be patient, settle your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. This is proof that God is in control. Nothing can stop God. Nothing in this world that is happening, that is taking place, can stop God. He is coming again. His plan is being carried out. This is His story, His book. This is His story that He's written, and He will fulfill it. So God's purpose for your life right now is greater than any problem that you're facing. God is in control. He has a plan. He has a story that He is telling, that He has written. And although I can't control everything that happens in my life, God can. And so I ought to trust Him in it. And you ought to trust God. Because God is in control of everything, I must be patient. And I trust that He's working it out. And I trust that all things work together for good. All things. God is in control. And we also see why. Because God rewards patience. We saw in verse 11a, indeed we count them blessed who endure. Blessed who endure. Blessed who have patience. We saw Job as an example. And Job's second half of his life, the second half of his life was more blessed than the first half. We saw that God doubled everything that Job had before. It pays to be patient. It pays to trust God. He will bless. Now, I'm not telling you how God blesses you. And I'm not going to say that every time you lose something, well, God's going to give you back double what you lost. If you get robbed, if your car gets stolen, He's going to give you two cars back. It doesn't always work that way. This is not a prescription for how God works all the time. But God will bless you, if not in this lifetime, in the one to come. God blesses. Be patient. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5:11. He said, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. Where? In heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, the prophets, huh? You can't control the people. But He says, blessed are you when they persecute you, when they're cruel, when they have bad intentions, and when they do this for my sake. You're being faithful to me. You are blessed, and great is your reward. Maybe not here, but your reward in heaven. Heaven is a long time. We're going to be in heaven for a lot longer than we've been here on earth, and it's going to seem like a drop in a bucket, this time that we've had here on earth, compared to in heaven when we're there. And I believe when we're in heaven, it's going to be every bit as real as what we are experiencing here now. It's going to be real. It's not going to be just some mystical, eerie thing and playing on clouds with harps. It's going to be a real place with real people like us. Real people who have been completely changed to be like Christ. A place where there is no sin. A place where there is no evil. No bad intentions, no suffering anymore, and no death. It's going to be a perfect place, but it's a very real place. And Jesus is promising Great is your reward there if you are patient, if you are faithful. Be patient. Third, why? Because God is working his plan. Verse 11b, the second part, says that you have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You've seen the end, the result of what happened in Job's story, Job's life. You've seen the end intended by the Lord. It was his plan, it was his story that he was writing, and he fulfilled it. He did what God had planned to do. That word for intended means the conclusion or a point aimed at. And God is the one who is aiming at the point. And he doesn't miss. So it's that conclusion that was written by the Lord. God was working. At the time, Job didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was happening. He just had to hang on for the ride, trusting that God had a plan, not knowing what it was. And sometimes you have to do the same thing, don't you? I don't know what's going on in my life right now, why this is happening, what's going on, but I'm going to trust God because I believe he has a plan. I believe he's the one in control, and he's working his plan. He has a conclusion that he's written. You pray, you trust God, and you wait. And you wait patiently. And we have to realize sometimes God delaying doesn't mean God denying. Sometimes we have to learn the difference between God saying no to us and God saying, no, not yet. It's not time. It's not in my plan yet. Be patient and wait. You ever feel like you're in a big hurry for something to happen and God's not in the same hurry that you are? It happens. You lose a job. And this is an important thing in your life. And you stress and you go looking and you start to really, you pray. And you say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm putting my faith in you. Take care of me. I'm going to be applying for these jobs. Would you open up a door for me? And you wait. Okay, God, I'm patient. And you wait some more. God, are you hearing me? And you wait. And sometimes you begin to think, well, why isn't God in the same hurry that I'm in? Sometimes you have to trust God in those dark times. And you don't understand, but you realize God is working his plan. You got to trust him. God is working his plan. He gives the illustration of the farmer. When the farmer plants the seed, he waits for that seed. And while he is waiting, he's done what he was told to do. He's done his part in doing the sowing and doing the planting. But while he's waiting, God is the one who's working behind the scenes to cause that little plant to sprout, to cause it to grow. He is creating the conditions so that the time is right. And in the right time, there will be a harvest if we're patient and wait. But God is in control. The farmer waits, and it's God that does the work. Paul said in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Can you trust that? Do you trust that? It's God who is working in you to do, to will, that is his will, and ultimately his will be done. For his good pleasure, for his glory, his purposes that we may not fully understand, but God's in control. And our greatest joy as believers, as followers of Christ, is to see his good pleasure done. That should be our greatest joy. God, use my life however you see fit. I want your good pleasure to be done. You are God. You are the Creator. I am your servant. So we've seen when to be patient. We've seen why we should be patient. But now let's look at how we should be patient. How to be patient. First of all, we wait expectantly. That is, I'm expecting that harvest. He uses the example of the farmer we've already seen. But the farmer, he does what he's supposed to do. He does the preparation. He does the plowing. He does the sowing of the seed. And he has to wait. He waits on God to provide the harvest. But he waits expectantly. He knows it's going to come. He trusts that it's going to come. And he gets prepared that it's going to come. And so he expects it. Psalms 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. So as we're waiting, this is a time for preparation. Preparing for what God is going to have you to do next. And so the psalm writer says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. And he's getting into God's word. And he's putting God's word in his heart. And he's preparing for what God would have him to do. If you do expect God to do something eventually, you need to prepare. You need to show it. Demonstrate it by expectation in God. We don't give up. We don't just lose hope. We don't sit around doing nothing. We prepare because we are expecting. Many times when I'm waiting on God, the truth is he's waiting on me for something. He's waiting on me for something. There's a work that he's doing in my life, some character trait that he's working on in my heart. And he's waiting on me to be able to learn, to be able to respond properly to what he's allowed, what he's doing in my life. He's saying, grow up now. You need some spiritual depth in you, in your life. I want to bless your life, but you cannot handle the blessing that I want to give to you because you're not prepared yet. You're not there. You're not at the place that I want you to be at this time. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 49:23. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. We wait for him, but we wait expectantly. And as we wait, we prepare for what God has for us. We prepare. Let God do a work in your life and be patient and wait expectantly. Secondly, we wait quietly. Why do I say this? James throws this in verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Don't grumble. There's an old English expression. When you wake up in the morning, your mom comes into your room, perhaps, and she opens up the curtain, she says, rise and shine. But for some reason, rise and shine. For some reason, when you get older, for some of us, it becomes rise and whine, doesn't it? It's time to rise and whine. You hit the ground grumbling, griping, and complaining. It's another day. And some of you are like, oh, Lord, it's another day. Wait quietly. And I think James is just telling us, he throws in this about grumbling against one another. That is not patience, directing your anger and your frustration towards others. And thirdly, we see wait in purity. This is interesting. The goal of our life is to be made more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's God's purpose in you. Okay, his purpose is to conform you into the image of his son. And this is a work that he commences when we come to faith in Him, in Jesus Christ. When you are born again, He begins this work to conform you into His image. This is a lifelong process. You are holy when you come to know Christ. You are a new creation. We understand that. And you are sanctified. You are a saint. So in this sense, you are made holy. You are made perfect positionally before God. But in another sense, God begins this lifelong work in you to sanctify you, to make you holy in a practical day-to-day sense, in your response, in your actions, in your speech, in every way, not just positionally before Him through Jesus, but practically. And so this is His goal, working in you to conform you to Christ. He says in verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear." Okay, so how many of you have a problem with swearing? Nobody's raising their hands. Excellent. But I know some of you better than that. "But above all, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth." This is talking about something a little differently, but I do think the swearing part in a Christian's life isn't really compatible. Okay, it's not. If our goal is to be conformed into the image of Christ, we still have to ask, is this how Jesus would talk if He was here? And of course, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say no. Be careful with our speech. But again, he's referring to something. "Do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." Notice he says here, this is verse 12 in this paragraph of patience. He says, above all. He doesn't just add on finally or, oh, by the way, but he says, above all. This is important. This is something really important in this passage of patience. He finishes here with something that comes out of the mouth. Because James has this understanding, as I believe Jesus did, that what comes out of your mouth is an indication of what's happening inside the heart. That's it. What comes out of your mouth shows what's really you're like on the inside. And so if you say something really, really ugly and you say, oh, I don't know why I said that, that's not who I am. James and Jesus might say, well, that is showing who you are. We need to be aware of this. So he finishes with what comes out of the mouth. He's not merely referring to saying bad curse words. You know, you stub your toe or you smash your thumb and, oh, you say something that's considered today to be a swear word. That's not what he's just referring to here. He's referring to an oath. Now, in this time, it was common for one to call down a curse upon themselves if they were lying. What I mean by this is, if I'm trying to tell you something and I'm telling you the truth, and I might, you know, call down a curse upon myself if I am not telling you the very, very truth. And that way people know if nothing bad happens to me, well, I must be saying what is true. If no curse comes upon me, then I have spoken well, I have spoken truth. In Matthew, we see an example of this very thing. There was a man named Peter, one of the apostles. As Jesus was arrested, you remember, Peter denying Jesus three times. A girl came to him, says, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you a follower of Jesus? He says, no, that's not me. Another girl came. Peter's, you know, these, I don't know why these girls are coming to Peter, but another girl came and said, again, no, you are. I remember seeing you with Jesus. And this time, to give it more emphasis, Peter spoke a curse, an oath. He says in Matthew 26:72, but again he denied, this time it says with an oath. The first time, no oath, just no, that wasn't me. This time with an oath. What is that oath? Doesn't really say, but again, this was a cursing upon yourself to emphasize what I'm saying is true. He says, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are, you also are one of them. For your speech betrays you. You speak like one that's a follower of Christ. Verse 74, then he began to curse and swear. So this was going on beyond calling down that curse upon yourself, an oath. But he began to curse and swear to show, no, I'm not speaking like a follower of Christ. See, do I sound like one to you? And then he says, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and that's when his heart was broken, because he realized just what he did. James is saying that as you patiently are allowing God to do his work and his will, have his good pleasure done in you, you just speak the truth. We don't see Jesus when he's asked questions, we don't see him calling oaths upon himself to emphasize he's telling the truth. We don't see Jesus swearing and cursing either. But when he spoke, when he said yes, his yes was a real yes. When he said no, it was a real no. He spoke the truth at all times. So we wait in purity, living like Jesus would want us to live, saying the things that come out of our mouth, whether we're talking curse words or swear words, or these oaths in emphasizing our honesty, when everything we say should be honest, whether it's yes or no, coming out of our mouth. So what? What should we do with this passage that we've heard from Peter? Or James. What should we do with this passage that we've heard from James? Let me just ask you a few questions, and you think about it in your heart. Are you having some uncontrollable circumstances in your life right now? Things beyond your control? Have you been worrying about them? Fretting? I encourage you, be patient, wait on the Lord, trust His good will, His good pleasure to be done. Is there an unchangeable person in your life? You can't change him, you've tried, maybe you've done all kinds of things, manipulated, whatever, but you can't change them. Be patient, continue to be a faithful example, trust the Lord, realizing you can't control and you can't change people, and leave them into the Lord's hands. And you be faithful to be the witness, testimony that God wants you to be. Is there an unexplainable problem in your life? What do you do when you face these kinds of things in your life? My friends, God is in control. It may be outside of your control, and that may frustrate you, but know that nothing is outside of God's control. Be patient until when? Until the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. God will reward your patience. He'll reward you. Maybe in this life, with great reward that you see from Him, maybe in heaven, great is your reward in heaven when you're faithful, when you're patient. But trust Him. Trust Him in this. Be patient. Would you stand with me? With your head bowed and eyes closed, if you would. Just for a few moments, let's take a time to reflect on these things. And in your heart, maybe right now, you know of some uncontrollable circumstances in your life, things outside of your control. Maybe you've tried to take control and you realize you just can't. I encourage you to give that over to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I acknowledge this is beyond my control, but nothing is beyond yours. I give this to you, and I trust that your will be done, your good pleasure will be done, and help me to be patient and wait on you expectantly, but wait on you. Maybe there's that unchangeable person in your life. It's a frustration. You've tried to control things. You've tried to change people. But you realize you can't as much as you want to. And I encourage you right now, give that person over to the Lord, knowing that that's a person also made in God's image. It's a person that God loves. And say, Lord, I give up trying to change them. It's not my place to anyway. I relinquish my control over to you. And I trust that you can also work in them as you are in me. Maybe there's some unexplainable problems going on in your life. You just don't know what they are or why they're there. Be faithful. Be patient. For great is your reward. Great is your reward in heaven. God rewards patience. And my friends, I just want to say, if there's anybody here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I encourage you to come to us. When service is even finished, come. And I ask you to trust Him. Trust Him. God made you. He designed you. He made you in His image. And He made you for the purpose of knowing Him, of fellowship with Him. And if you're missing that, you're missing the point of life. And so I urge you, please, come to the Lord. Come to Him today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word to us today, a reminder of your call to patience in our lives. So, Lord, whatever circumstances we are facing that are beyond our control, I pray that we'll be patient in it. As we see Job was patient, as we see a farmer is patient as he's waiting for the crops. And Lord, whatever people in our life that we cannot control, we cannot change, I pray, Lord, that we would stop trying to be God. Lord, that we would trust that you are in control of even these situations. So, Lord, may we be a people of patience, trusting that your will and your pleasure be done. If there's anyone here who doesn't know you, I pray today they would come. They would come to you in faith, receive your forgiveness, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, take a seat, please.
Thank you for the message this morning. Just a few announcements that we'd like to share with you before our Sunday school time. If you have your bulletins, look on the inside pages under announcements and notices. We have the senior citizens outing. That is later today. It's the Auckland Mandolinata Orchestra concert. Today it's at 2 o'clock, when we'll be leaving the church, and we'll be returning at 5:30. The cost for that's $10. Which includes an afternoon tea. So if you're interested in going along to that, see Pastor Ken's wife Jennifer or Tanya Allen, and they'll give you all the details for that concert later today. The AGM, the Annual General Meeting, that takes place next Sunday. It's the 27th of May. It's going to be during the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour. So if you're a member of the church, we really encourage you strongly to be here, to be a part of the AGM, where we will share with you the budget results from last year, and then make the proposal for the new year's budget as well. You can download the web from the website. You can download the information That's concerning the budget. If you have any questions about that, then you can see us sometimes through the week. We also have this posted in the back just by the parents' room, so you're invited to take a look at that and then be here next week for the presentation of the budget. We also have a winter youth camp coming up. That is in July from the 17th to the 20th of July. The cost is $145 for that. It's down in Lake Taupo, so teens, if you're planning to be a part of that, we need you to register, and you can see Josh and Denise about that as well. Oh, is the registration form in the what? So Josh has the brochures and the forms and everything with him, so teens or parents, if you have teens and you think they would be interested in going, see Josh, and he'll give you the registration forms for that. We have the St. John's First Aid course. The date is confirmed now for the 28th of July. From 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 p.m. The cost for that is $100. So if you have already registered, you've already paid perhaps half of that, then you will be expected to pay the remaining half either on the day of or before. If you haven't paid, but you're intending to register and sign up, we would like for you to put down a deposit of $50 to hold your spot for this course on the 28th of July. On the Kids Club, we're still needing some volunteers to assist with the activities and in the program on the Kids Club. That's during the 11 o'clock time frame. So if that's something that you would be interested in, maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about an area of ministry, see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, and she'll give you all the details of what the expectations are to minister and work back in the Kids Club. So I think that's all of the announcements. I believe so. Continue to pray for our missionaries, the MacIvers. Those are the missionaries that we have supported for quite a number of years here, several years anyway, and we are supporting them as they minister overseas. Pray for them and our other missionaries. We have the letters posted from our other missionaries in the back near the kitchen. Before we're dismissed for Sunday school, we'll take just a moment if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday this week? Anyone? Come on up here, Steve. We know it's Steve's birthday. Come on up, Julian. Anyone else celebrating a birthday this week? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with a wedding anniversary this week? Any wedding anniversaries? Renee and Bernice, come up. Anyone else with wedding anniversary? Come on up here. We'd like to congratulate you. Sing happy anniversary as well. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing happy birthday first. And then we will sing happy anniversary. Let's all sing together happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, guys, and happy anniversary. We have 23 years, and at the end, 27 years. So, well done. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, my Father, for your word to us today. And we celebrate with our brothers and sisters here. I pray your blessings on them this week. That'd be a great week for them. Lord, dismiss us now, and may we go and wait patiently on you, knowing you are God, you are in control, you are at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You're dismissed.